listening to the Self-Help Podcast, a weekly no-nonsense guide dedicated to your emotional health and well-being. Presented by entrepreneur Edward Lamb and psychotherapist Sean Orford. For more information, visit livingthepresent.co.uk.
Okay, hello, welcome to episode 239 of the Self-Help Podcast with me, Ed Lamb. And me good pal, Sean Orford. Happy New Year, Sean.
And Happy New Year.
It's 2018. Are you excited?
Yeah. I'm ecstatic.
I'm not. I was sick as a dog over Christmas.
Yeah. You don't sound right yet.
Yeah, still got some nose stuff going on. Yeah. Shouldn't complain too much, I guess, eh? But, well.
You're still alive.
Yeah.
You didn't die.
You're okay. I didn't die. I'm still here. Part of me is actually, it's quite a good time to be sick over Christmas because I was off work for a week and a half, so I wasn't in
the work. So you spend the time lying in bed, letting poor Beth Ann do all the work.
I actually had a nap on Christmas Day, yeah, for like, it's like been a dream of mine for years. You know, when you get that 3-4 o'clock lull when you run out of steam.
You just went to bed.
I went to bed, and no one stopped me.
So you're now going to be ill every Christmas.
Yeah. We'll come on to, we'll chat more about our woes.
Our woes.
As well as, what's the topic for today?
Productivity tips. Yeah, how to be more effective, really.
More productive, more effective, more efficient with your time as the new year
and
hits.
And yourself.
Yeah, we've got some good stuff to go on here. Livingthepresent.co.uk is our website. All the show notes and links from this and previous episodes are there for you. Stick your email address in the box and we'll send you some free meditation files and a discount code for our book as well. And you'll get weekly emails from us as soon as these episodes go online, which ain't too shabby, eh?
Pretty good, I reckon.
Pretty good. So how was your Christmas then, Sean?
Very good. Very good. Very busy.
Had a house full.
And full.
People, falling out the windows.
Yeah.
Desperately trying to...
And we cooked that many roast dinners. Which always makes me laugh because neither of us eat meat, but we cook roast dinners. So yesterday we topped up at 14 people for lunch, I think, something like
that. On New Year's Day?
Yeah. So crazy. Busy like that, but good. Good to have the family there. Big issues with people not being there, like Mally died last year, and Mike, Ree's dad, went a couple of years ago. And you can still feel the hole they leave.
Yeah.
It's an odd thing, yeah. Plus the fact that, like, New Year's Eve, a lot of the kids that are now grown up that would have been at our place having a good time and now are off doing their own things, you know.
They're all grown up.
So, yeah, so there's that kind of change is going on.
Yeah.
Time marches on. But, yeah, no, but a good time overall.
Do you get any cool prezzies, gadgets? Or
yeah. My life is full of cool prezzies and gadgets. So it's really, really good, yeah.
Yeah, well, I'm just trying to see if there's anything you're wearing that's...
No, it's all hidden.
New jacket, maybe?
Yeah.
Nice.
It's a new jacket, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I like practical things like that, something you're going to wear.
Yeah.
Use every day for the next few months.
Yeah, Ree and I have always tried to do that, where we try and buy each other things that we're going to be using all the time, kind of thing.
Yeah, that's the trying thing. That's the type of thing I try and aim for.
So it's good. Good. Yeah.
Lovely. Shall we crack on with this show? I don't want to talk about my illness too much. I don't want to focus on that.
Don't enjoy it.
Horrendous week. But you sent me an article which we'll link to in the on the website.
The thing that got me on this was that the podcast around Christmas was about letting go of the past. The podcast coming up to New Year was about being able to get that kind of positive sense of future going on.
The previous two episodes.
And so like this one kind of follows on from that, really. It's like, how can we be more efficient and productive in creating what we want to create?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's okay doing the New Year's resolution stuff, but you've actually got to make it happen.
You need the base, don't you? A streamlined system. So things aren't getting in your way.
Yeah.
You can crack on and do what it is you want to do.
Yep.
So, yeah, it's a wired.co.uk article, which we're going to pillage and plunder and recycle is probably the more apt word.
Upcycle.
Which we'll link to. a lot of these things, it's got a bit of a business slant to it, but we'll expand on that a bit.
If you think about, in that article, which we'll put a link into it, but they refer to it from a business point of view.
Yeah,
but business is just doing work, and work is the issue of being alive and living your life, isn't it? So,
yep.
the same things apply whatever way you're looking at this, whether you're looking at this from being a mum and housewife through to being you know, a salesperson, chief exec, whatever. It's like they're all in there. We're all doing stuff, aren't we?
Yeah, yeah, and they're all... I mean, just, I like them because they're just quite small little tweaks that you can make to your life which can have a big impact, such as the first one they mentioned, which is about adjusting lighting and temperature, weirdly.
Most houses are too hot. If you look at the stats on that, you know, just knocking it down a degree or two can make a huge difference.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's much better for it to be a bit cooler and to put a jumper on than to have it too hot.
I find that. I like it, things to be a bit cooler than they need to be. I feel a bit more alert, a bit more awake. And in fact, even when you're trying to get some sleep, being in a nice, cool environment is a big deal.
If you think about the way that germs, viruses and stuff like that hang around, they like warm, damp conditions. Yeah. So when it's too warm, too much, it's like hospitals. If you want to get ill, go to hospital.
Yeah.
That's where all the germs are going to be waiting for you.
I was kind of conscious of that when I was ill over Christmas, actually, that the house was, obviously, it was cold. We had a bit of a cold step. But I was conscious that with all the windows shut and all the vents shut, that the house was quite stuffy and, we got clothes drying or whatever. And you can almost taste you can feel the vapour in the air and you can feel it kind of getting in your lungs. So I was just, I was opening windows and trying to get some fresh air.
I've been amazed over the last couple of months the amount of people that have been barking at me in different consulting rooms. and I've managed to fend it off so far.
Just a bit off topic though. I mean, my dad was saying how he used to get ill a lot over Christmas when he was working, because he was in retail at a shop, food shop. He was the manager, so he would be working his backside off right up till Christmas Eve. Quite often, and then he'd come home and he'd get that release, and he'd wake up feeling horrendous.
People say that when they go on holiday, though. People summer holiday.
I was just chatting to Mike in the office here, but he's got a pal. Whenever he goes on holiday, he gets cold.
And it's as though our immune systems are fed by the adrenaline and cortisol, but as soon as that bit drops, our defences start to break down.
Yeah,
and then it all just comes out. Then whoa. Yeah, loads of people do that.
Yeah.
And one of the things is, I don't know whether people know this, but under British employment law, if you're ill while you're on holiday, you book that sick time.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's not your holiday, you've been ill.
Wow. What, are you self-employed?
You're stuffed.
Yeah. That was it for me. Apart from me, it was quite kind of glad that I was ill during the holes, because I didn't miss any work time and I didn't have clients kind of badgering me and...
Yeah.
For work, which doesn't get done if I'm not there at the old digital...
Yeah. On your interface.
There. Yeah. the digital cold face. but adjusting lighting and temperature in your house, have a think about that. I was thinking about this place, actually, because our office here, we're trying to slowly but surely kind of...
If you look at it, I'm turning around now, your lights are very high.
These lights are horrible, man. I've seen what it came.
Whereas if you have low lights, the lights are lower down. It creates a different atmosphere.
Yeah, well, I've got a lot of desk light there, but obviously it's not enough to light the room. But I think we should have a rethink. Even these ceiling lights, we could change those to the pan.
The classic with lighting is the thing about when naturally you go to sleep is when the sun goes down. So things gradually get darker. I mean, even in the Middle East, it still takes half an hour to get dark, so you've still got that period of time where your brain adjusts to the sleep pattern. What we do is we live in false lighting. So we go from bright light and then we expect to go to sleep.
Yeah.
And our brain isn't ready for it. And it's good to wind down your lighting, have lower lights the later it gets before you go to sleep.
Yeah.
And the worst thing to do is to go in the bathroom, turn the bright light on to clean your teeth, because then your brain wakes up and then you get to bed, you can't get to sleep.
I know you can... When you buy a light bulb online or wherever, you get the option to buy like the daylight LED or a yellowy one. And I always get yellowy ones because I like that kind of glow in it of an evening. But sometimes you go past people's houses and you see lights on and they've got the daylight ones and it's night.
Bright lights.
It's like, what are you doing? It's just, I don't know.
But then if you look at the stuff, I don't know whether other systems do it, but on the Apple systems where you put the control on so that after a certain time in the evening, the light balance on the screen changes.
On the screen,
you're losing the blue light and you're going down into the twilight.
Yeah, I find that quite handy, whether that's all in me noggin or all in my
I don't know the research on it, but it's supposed to, if you're using your iPad or something in bed, and but you've got the nighttime stuff on, then it allows your brain to still wind down.
I'm sure Apple wouldn't have rolled out to hundreds of millions of devices without some kind of
rationale. There'd be some research behind it.
Point number two, we got make time for things other than work, which I'm kind of reluctant to use it in that term, because a lot of the podcasts we've talked about talk about how you should try and aim for not a work-life balance, just a life balance. So the work-life should all become
I think that is very true for people that do very intense work. I mean, if you were a surgeon, there's times when you're right there on it, you know, you're a 999 worker or something, you're right there on the stress, then you come away from it.
You opening yourself up to, as I have, my poor old dad all those years, opening up yourself up to illness, and kind of you have that immediate stop and you go to do nothing.
But that's what this is saying, isn't it? It's like, don't go for the all on, all off. Start to intersperse the all on with time for you, things for you.
Yeah.
And that might be hobbies, it might be learning to knit, whatever it is, but it's doing things that take you out of the normal way of being.
Yeah.
You know.
Maybe just try and plan your day out a bit more, so that it's, you're not that 9 to 5, you're not in work, poof, let's go, and then you stop. Try and plan your day a bit so that you can ease yourself in and out a bit more.
Did I tell you on this about the thing about being in Qatar with the Muslims going to prayer?
Something
about that? Because you've got this massive amount of expats on board it, and you've got a limited amount of local Qataris. But the Muslims, three times during the working day, will go and spend 20 minutes or so in prayer.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and the expats were starting to say to me, it's really weird, but you can tell the difference, because when they've taken that 20 minutes out to go and what I would call a kind of meditation, yeah, they're coming back chilled out, cooled, relaxed, they've lost the tension. Yeah, so they're splitting up their day three times by taking time out just to look after themselves. That's apart from lunch breaks and stuff like that.
Yep.
Yeah. To the point where people were asking, could we have a room that we could do the same thing in, but go and do a bit of kind of mindful meditation.
Okay.
I mean, and that was interesting for me, because it wasn't just a nice theory. People that could actually see it happening.
Yeah.
And we're saying, wow, that's different. I can see that.
But yeah, it's definitely something to be learned from the way those guys do it, isn't it?
So what would you take? I mean, I've been trying to get you meditating for years. It's like Mission Impossible.
I'm always meditating.
Right now. You're just a perpetual meditator. But that idea about, do you take any time out? Now, if three times a day your alarm went off or something, you had to go and walk around the block for 20 minutes and come back, you know?
Oh, yeah, do what I probably should do. I'm just trying to think how I do it, really. My day's a bit, kind of, generally, a bit normal. I ain't no 9 to 5. But I have my lunch set right there, usually as I'm working. But at the same time, I've got this second screen where I've got things entertaining me while I'm working, and whether the radio on or YouTube videos, TED Talks going, so I'm trying to learn as I'm working. I'm probably doing it completely wrong.
Can you do that? Does that work for you?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there are lots of people, when they're studying, want music kind of blaring out in the background, because that helps them study.
Yeah.
I like quiet when I'm doing something.
I've always worked with something on in the background. I worked from home for years, and I'd usually have like a movie on, something I'd already seen, so I didn't have to concentrate on anything, but subtitles, obviously. But something kind of familiar on in the background that I can just...
Well... And you could still be productive doing that.
Yeah, reasonably. Well,
yeah, I couldn't do that. I need to be kind of focused with what I'm on.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
The next point's got create moments of elevation, and this is kind of related to the last point in terms of doing things a bit differently as you're working. So the example it uses in the article is that if you're going to have a meeting, don't have a regular meeting where you just kind of sit around a desk and chit-chat and make notes and then go. Maybe go have a walking meeting.
Yep.
Which I've done a couple of times while I'm here, actually, because we're right by the river. So I've had clients say, should we go for a walk while we chat? Because it's not something where I've had to be making notes. And we've just gone for a nice, big, long, mile-long walk along the river and around.
That's good.
And it's been great, actually.
There's a guy I know, Chris, who does a lot of business stuff. And what he tends to do is he leaves his answer phone on and says, I will download this answer phone and respond at 4 o'clock today. So that he doesn't get interrupted by the phone.
Okay.
But then what he'll do is, at 4 o'clock, he will get up, put his headphones in on his phone, and then go for a walk. And he will be answering all the messages he's got while he goes for a walk.
Mm.
So just two together.
Cool.
Which is quite good. And I know Ree does that, in where she has meetings and they'll walk across from the hospital to the local farm and get a coffee.
Yeah.
That kind of stuff.
To Claremont
back
farm.
Again. Yeah. So you've got that. And we're not just sat down at a desk thing. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. So I work like that. I'm not great at clients now. I kind of know that I'll tend not to answer my phone. I'll let the message come in and then I'll deal with it when I'm ready, really. Unless if it's an emergency, people will text me and say, can
yeah,
we call it?
Yeah, now, I worked with a guy over in North Wales who was a physical worker, and there's no way he could sit down to do sessions. He couldn't actually sit down for long enough because he was used to being active all the time. So I did a deal with him where we would meet in the local park in Rhythm, and we'd jog around the park. And he could talk and share and resolve things whilst he was jogging around the park. So twice around the park was a session. And okay, see you next week.
Uh-huh.
Come back in. And it worked for him. So two things at once. Yeah.
Like it. A lot of when you see interviews with chief execs and high profile business leaders, they talk about making the most of that first hour in the day when they get to work. A lot of CEOs and whatever you will get for. You're reading, they're up at 5 o'clock, whatever. Which you're meditating, right?
I do all kinds of things when I get up. But the thing for me, and it's to do with, are you a lark or an owl, we say, aren't we? Are you a morning person or an evening person? But I don't go through a twilight of waking up. I'm awake. And once I'm awake, I'm up and I'm going.
Yeah.
And I don't need that, I need to get going kind of thing that a lot of people have.
You're not shuffling around the house for half an hour.
No, I'm up and off and on it. And very often, because if I got a clinic, say, in the hospital, I'll go in a good half an hour before it starts. And in that first hour, I will get so much done. You know, once the world starts and everybody else arrives.
Is that because you've got, you know, the pressure of people arriving? You know, you need to get things done? Or is it just you are...
It's the silence of being able to get onto all the equipment, do everything that I need to do without people interrupting. Sean, can I... Sean, you know,
yep.
That kind of thing, which is good. The only problem is that as the pressure is built on the system, sometimes when I arrive at the hospital, I arrived at 6:30 the other day, and there someone was waiting outside the door to see me. You know, that kind of thing.
Every now and again.
Yeah.
Well, you've got to be prepared for little changes to your plan, haven't you? You can't be too set in stone because
no.
Life throws things up at you, doesn't it?
Yeah. And it's being able to respond.
Yeah.
I mean, what do you do? Do you wake or do you need to wake up?
I wake, but I am woken generally by other forces, external forces.
Daddy.
Yeah. Generally... mornings in my house are pretty crazy. Got two little boys to get dressed and brush teeth and all that and give them brekkie, and then get them to school. So my working day doesn't start in the week till when I get in here at 9:30 after I've taken Will to school. But then I have that nice 20-minute bike ride down the hill from school to the office, which I find...
So did you ride in this morning?
No, today I've got the car, amazingly.
The weather is appalling, aren't there?
It stopped raining, but yeah, it was pretty grim. Mm. Normally I would be, but my wife's off work. Beth is off this week, so I've had a little errand to run beforehand.
Right.
So I've got the car today. But next week I'll be back on the bike. And
yeah.
I do love that little 20-minute quiet ride into work.
Yeah.
And it gets my energy levels going and gets me in the zone.
Do you think and plan whilst you...
Yeah, I do a lot of thinking, actually. I mean, I've got to be focused on the road as well, because you never know when that car hasn't seen you, generally.
That's one thing to me about running, getting back into running, is that I did a lot of, I suppose, kind of meditative, but a lot of kind of planning, thinking, sorting while I was running, because there's no distraction.
Yep.
I started off using music to run to, but I stopped doing that after a while because it got in the way of me trying to just process stuff.
Well, I definitely don't listen, although my office pal Mike, the other Mike, he does listen to music as he's cycling, which I'm not sure that's the safest thing to do. You need to have your wits about you. Yeah. But no, I do enjoy it. I get a lot of thinking done, a lot of clarity and ideas planned out.
Yeah.
I get 20 minutes to start at the end of the day where I can decompress.
And that's interesting because all the research that's done on meditation is on 20 minutes in the morning, 20 minutes in the evening.
Ah.
So maybe we could pretend that your cycling is meditation.
Let's say it's pretty damn that. Right, the next couple are quite interesting, really. They're talking, they're kind of about spatial design. So one is about surrounding yourself with plants, interesting, and the other one is about office design in general, or the design of your house. So this is like interior stuff, and we've got on the ground floor here Crave ID, who do interior design of various commercial outlets, restaurants, that kind of thing, all sorts. But that idea of where you place things, feng shui, and how you create a mood, depending on the environment. So if it's a work environment, it'd be different to a home or a restaurant where you want people.
The hospital in Qatar that I've been working with, they have, it's got three kind of, they look like sails on the outside, it's a massive building. And in each of these sails is a forest, because you're talking about a desert.
Yeah.
But inside the forest is trees, plants, and waterfalls.
Right.
And they're called the Healing Garden. And as the hospital's been building up to opening, staff have been using them. But once the hospital opens, the staff will be banned. And it's for patients and their carers to go in and sit and have that healing environment, which is very much different to the desert outside. It's the, all green inside.
But yeah, the environment you spend your time in, which is, well, two places it'll be in, place of work and it'll be your home.
Yep.
It can have a huge impact on your mood, can't it?
Yep.
It can take months, years to get it right. I mean, we were looking back at photos of when we first moved into our house recently versus now, and it's still a work in progress, but it's come on leaps and bounds. And this office here is something obviously we need to do a bit of work with.
But you've changed it already.
It's changed quite a bit. We've been in for a year and we've changed around quite a bit as we've got to know it and as our work has evolved. But generally, when you change lighting, I think get a few plants in here, more plants, like big freestanding IKEA jobbies, and get some better lighting on the go.
That kind of tube lighting doesn't work well, does it?
Yeah, it's pretty grim. But we're getting there.
Yeah.
No rush.
That's good.
Mm-hmm. Spatial design, important. Right, organising your digital life. There's another one on the list, but turning off push notifications. This is something I need to work on big time in the coming weeks and beyond. I'm quite good at not having notifications on my phone, so I've switched things off. Like, you know, if someone likes an Instagram picture of mine, I won't get a notification until I go into the app and it'll tell me.
Yeah.
So my phone isn't pinging all the time, and even WhatsApp, I just get the little red dot on WhatsApp. I don't get an alert saying you've got a text.
Red dot.
Well, you know, a little on your right, and the app icon, you get the little red number.
Oh, I know. I was imagining your screen went red.
So when I open the phone, I'll see that there's a message, but I won't get the screen won't light up every time as a WhatsApp. So I'm quite good at that, but I've still got a bit of work to do. I don't get work emails to my phone either, so it's only when I'm at my laptop. But there's things I need to work on as social media, really. I'm close to ditching or deleting Facebook from my phone because I just check it for no reason and it's like just out of habit, really. Twitter, the same, really. I'm super addicted to Twitter and new stuff, but I'm conscious that it's not doing me much good being this connected to the world and this.
It's interesting, isn't it? I get the idea if there's a business benefit or a research benefit. What are the benefits of staying so tightly connected on a network over the world all the time?
Yeah.
You know, I guess some people say, no, I get this, I get that. I'm the kind of person who goes into Twitter once a week and checks out what's going on, kind of thing.
Yeah.
And I ought to be more, digitally savvy, maybe.
Yeah,
about things. You have to take me on a training program.
Mm-hmm. Well, maybe not though. Maybe you've got it right. Because it's not so much work stuff for me. Twitter. It's more news, current affairs, latest breaking bits and bobs.
Yeah.
Brexit and Trump, just watching those slow motion car crashes
over
the course of a year and a half, and it's like, I don't know, I've been there to see things, and I've signed petitions and done my bit when I can, and applied a bit of pressure, or even, I've even donated a bit of money actually to various legal things that have tried to, you know, hold government's account, which is, have worked, so I've done my bit there, so maybe, but do I need to be that connected, you know, checking it every hour? Probably not.
No. But I think Chris has got the right idea, where he says, no, I'm offline now, and I'll be online again at 4 o'clock.
Yeah.
So people know they can get hold of him.
Yeah.
And they know when they'll be able to get hold of him. One of my things at the moment with that whole issue is because I'm still doing work for Qatar, although I'm not in Qatar, so I'm doing work online. I'm in two time zones because they're starting their day at 4 a.m. our time.
Yeah.
There's time to work then. And there's times when I have to be online at 4 a.m. I mean, and that's something about organising the time difference.
Yeah.
Because if I do some work in New York, some work here, some work in Qatar, it's like it's three different worlds that you're inhabiting.
Yeah. Yeah. You need to streamline it, don't you?
And yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you know, maybe for what you do, maybe your people need to be switched on 24/7. Maybe people enjoy it and it can work. It's not it's not a definite kind of you must delete Facebook from your phone. You must, but if you just sit back and kind of meditate on it, and you think it's doing you more harm than good, then
I suppose that's it. Does it work for you? If it does, how does it work? What's the benefits?
Yeah,
and if you know that, then it's okay. You know that thing about if it feels good, do it. If it doesn't, don't. Kind of thing. It's like if it works for you.
Last couple of points here. I want a quick one about avoiding the number 7, which is a Tim Ferriss thing from his latest book. Mike, what's Tim Ferriss's book called?
Tribe of Mentors.
Tribe of Mentors, right, remember that. I'll stick it in the show notes. But I did look into this one, Avoid the Number 7. It's an interesting one, but basically he was talking to high-profile business folks, and they avoid the number 7 by when they're trying to rate or rank something out of 10. And how useful it is to their life, or you know how good a bit of food is. Most people will lean towards giving you an answer of 7 because it's kind of a bit sitting on the fence. So when you're judging something that's important in your life, or whether you need it or not, like how important is that cup of coffee to you, Sean?
It's a number 7.
It's a 7. You're not allowed to say 7. You've got to say 6 or 8. If it's a 6, then it's something you didn't need. If it's an 8, then cool, fine. Basically, it's.
I think it was a 9, actually.
There you go. Get some more. Stop sitting on the fence with things, basically. Ditch the number 7 from your life.
Yeah, interesting. I suppose 7 is kind of neutral, because you're not saying it's kind of no good, but you're not saying it's kind of good. It's
Whereas an 8 is good and a 6 is not good, isn't it?
So yeah.
What's that out of 10? It's because you have 3 out of 5. I don't know. Let's just call it out of 10. 70%. And embrace background noise is the last point, which I guess, kind of talking about it philosophically, is about how things, there's always going to be background noise in your life, there's always going to be funny little things that crop up for no reason, so try not to focus on deleting them completely, because you can't, would you say?
Well, to me, this one made me laugh, this one. A few years ago, Ree bought me some Bose noise cancelling headphones.
Yeah.
Which I use in the studio, and I use, and flying backwards and forwards. It never really occurred to me to use them, and when it did, I thought, well, they're a bit expensive, I might lose them on the plane, kind of thing. So I was using a cheaper pair of Sonys on the plane, because the headphones they give you on the plane are rubbish. Aren't they?
Okay.
So, and then I suddenly thought, this is crazy, I've got these lovely Bose headphones, why don't I take them with me? So the last trip I went on, I took them with me. And it's amazing, you put them on, and when you turn it on, the world goes silent.
Wow.
Now, and the thing is that I did read a thing when I first got them. Well, people were saying about wearing Bose headphones if you wanted to sleep on a plane, the noise cancelling thing. Yeah, and I thought that was really funny. But I was looking around yesterday when I was reading this article I sent you, and you can buy Bose sleep buds, which are designed to cut the sound out, especially if your partner snores. You put the sleep buds in and turn them on, and you can't hear everything, go silent.
Wow.
Yeah, and they've been so successful that the first batch sold out like that.
I suppose it's something you've got to get used to, because I remember when we lived in a flat, on quite a busy road in Birkenhead for many years, and so we got used to the noise of ambulances whizzing by and constant traffic, even through the night, taxis, whatever.
Yeah.
And then we moved into a house which is almost comparatively like in the countryside, because mm-hmm. the way the house is set back from the road, and we've got the woods in the back garden. And I remember that first week, actually, of silence at night, and it was really... neither of us could sleep. And I've had the same when I've been on my mountaineering expeditions, sleeping in mountain huts in the middle of nowhere with nothing going on, no flights going overhead. I can't sleep, because you go away for 3-4 days, you don't have the time to get used to it.
Yeah.
So this, I think, is this talking about kind of enjoying it and embracing it, not trying desperately to cancel out everything?
But one of the things when you're meditating is that people talk about meditating in silence. And I can remember talking to Ramji and saying, oh, isn't it wonderful being in the ashram and you can sit in this peace under the banyan tree? And he's laughing at me and he's saying, if your head's on the right way round, you can become enlightened sitting in a sur in New York eating egg and chips. You know, it's which way is your head on? It's like, what are you focusing on?
Yeah.
And the thing is that you, in the same way that you can't stop your mind thinking, just so you don't pay attention to it, you can't stop your ears hearing, but you're still paying attention to it. Mm. It's what you choose to pay attention to.
Yeah.
Have you ever heard of the cocktail party syndrome?
Nope.
You walk in a room, and there's that kind of people talking, that buzz. Yeah, and you're there with the drink, and suddenly someone says Ed, and you tune straight into it, because you're actually filtering all that sound and the things that are relevant to you, you will hear out of the background that's going on. Yeah, and it's that bit, isn't it? It's being able to ignore and not pay attention to the bits you don't want, but pay attention to the bits you do want.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, interesting.
When I was a kid, we lived on a flight path into Heathrow, and planes came over every 2 minutes on the line. Yeah?
Yeah.
And you didn't hear them. You know, other people go, oh, planes.
Come round,
and
yeah.
you just don't hear them. Just gone. Yeah.
All right. So it can be done.
Yeah.
That's all the points on the list, actually. Anything else you want to mention?
I've got one more on there.
Yeah, go
which
for
is,
it.
It's the one about... It's two, really. The first one is that... I love that phrase, calm down and speed up. You know, we talk about how to be more effective. Most people, the more anxious, the more uptight they become, the less efficient they become.
Yep.
So it works against itself.
Yeah, for sure.
You're busy, 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 and you can do less and less and less because you're less effective. Whereas if you can learn to calm down, which is like taking the time out, doing the meditation, doing the prayer, whatever you do, just taking some breaks. All that evidence from China, where if you've got a production line, take people off the line for 5 minutes every hour to do something else, productivity goes up.
Right.
Which is, it's all counterintuitive, but it's that sense about the calmer we are, the more effective we become. Mm. That's really, really important. And the other one is the sleep one. My result of the week feeds into this. But it's the issue of... we used to think things like the older you get, the less sleep you need. Kind of stuff.
Yep.
Yeah, so older people might only sleep for 4 hours a night, younger people sleep for 12. You know. All the current research, neuropsychology, and all the immunology kind of work is showing that if you have less than 7 to 8 hours a day, you're putting yourself in a disease position and making yourself open to cancers and stuff like that. Quite a lot of research. So it's quite an interesting article.
That's your resource.
Yeah, I'm putting that up as my resource. But it's like, if you want to be more efficient, get more sleep. You want to be more efficient, take more time to look after you. You want to be more efficient, calm down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's something on my list of things for this year, really.
Or from You're going to learn to meditate?
Well, we'll start with sleep first. More sleep, less staying up late reading about what's going on in the world and...
Yeah.
Calming down. Okay. Really? I also want to get an adventure in this year. I haven't been on a proper little adventure in a few years.
Got anything in mind?
I have actually. Yeah, it's a bit of an expedition. A North African peak. Bit of climbing in Morocco.
Mm.
Watch this space. Yeah.
Yeah. Good. Over there.
Yeah. Sheesh. Bit of that. That's part of the allure. My resource is Action for Happiness. A pal of mine over on Facebook alerted me to a Happy New Year calendar for January, actually, but you can use it at any point, really. It's a little thing to do every day to make your start your year off right over at actionforhappiness.org. So I'll put the link in the show notes.
Is that the calendar for January?
Yes.
Yeah,
that one. Seen that.
Yeah, I got it.
Lovely. Yeah, it's cool. Yeah. Nice bit of work.
Yep.
And we'll be back next week, won't we, Sean?
We will.
livingthepresent.co.uk for the show notes and links. Drop us a line if there's anything you'd like us to talk about in an upcoming episode. Let us know, and otherwise we'll catch you all next week, eh?
Yep, sounds good to me.
Have fun, Sean.
See ya.
Toodaloo. Bye.